Oh, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. I want to go to a subject that's been discussed many times on this programme down through the last couple of years, which is the airport site in Carnmore in Galway. One Galway City Councillor sits opposite me today and one is on the phone to us from Galway County, and he wants work on the master plan and steering committee for the airport. He wants to find out exactly what they're going to do, how long it's going to take, and what will the outcome be from there. Councillor Alan Cheevers, good morning to you.
Very good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. What are you looking for, can I ask you?
Well, first of all, I submitted a motion in November last year, and I based my motion really entailed that I would want to see, firstly, I want to see progress on a master plan for the city and county local authorities on this site. And also, I want to see a steering committee put in place to bring that forward. I think, first of all, it's very important to, I suppose, point out, Keith, we've local authorities in city and county have had possession of this site and ownership since 2012. And I think, actually, the fact that 12 years later now we're only talking about a master plan, really, in my view, is really not acceptable.
So where has it been for the last 12 years then? We know the Flying Club have a lease there. We know it's been used for COVID. We know it was used for films. But it's a big site, so what's the master plan going to look like, do you reckon? Or what would you like to see there?
Well, I think we, as I say, first of all, the important thing is that we get the proper expertise working on this. And I believe that's at the moment, that's in situ. So that's good to see that. But it's really important that we put together a very comprehensive plan. I think this is a fantastic bit of what to call land bank that we have. And I think we need to make sure that it is utilised to the best of its capability. I think we need to see a mix of industry. I think we need to see, I think a park and ride is something definitely.
A hospital, a sporting facility?
A sporting facility. The Galway GA, maybe have a look at that.
Centre of Excellence, yeah.
Yeah, Centre of Excellence. I think also, I think what we have to do as well, as part of this on the industry side, we should be some way collaborating and bring in Enterprise Ireland, IDA, the Western Development. I think it's important to get them involved as well. And I think we have to have a good mix. And maybe we can't rule out a bit of residential, affordable housing or something like that as well. I think we have to look at the overall mix, but we have to make sure that it's a comprehensive plan. It's a plan that works both well for the city and county, and that's really, really important.
Now, the site in question that we're talking about is the old Galway Airport, the Carnmore site, and that's owned jointly by Galway City Council and Galway County Council. And Galway County Council are the lead on it, so I want to bring in the Cathaoirleach of Galway County Council, Liam Carroll, who should be on the line with me. Liam, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Alan.
Thanks for joining us today. Are you on Hand Street by any chance there, Liam?
No, I'm in the car, Keith, on my mobile.
Okay, just try and keep it close to your mouth there. The quality just isn't great. Galway County Council is the lead on this project. What can you see happening here?
Yes, well, Galway County Council, as you say, is the lead on this particular project. And under the objective of Chapter 5 of the Galway County Development Plan, it's included in that. We have now appointed Evanston Young, their firm of consultants, procurement consultants.
Sorry, I can't hear you there. Can you? I don't know what we're going to do with your telephone line, but it's just shocking. Can we just go again? You've appointed, what's the name of the consultants that you've appointed?
We've appointed Evanston Young, A-V-I-S-T-O-N, Evanston Young, their firm of consultants, to advise us on the procurement process that we will go through before a master plan is developed. That master plan then will be developed, when it's developed, a wider steering group or a coordinating mechanism needs to be examined by both local authorities, because we're both joint owners of the site. It's 115 acres in total. And in the meantime, the procurement consultants, Evanston Young, will work with us on how to develop this early element of the project. Now, like Councillor Cheevers, I've been frustrated because I was the one who in 2013 proposed that Galway County Council and Galway County and Galway City Council jointly purchase that site. So, yes, we are frustrated that nothing has happened in between, but things are beginning to happen now. with the appointment of procurement expertise that will be signed off in April. Then tender documents will be prepared, including the engagement with the executive of both local authorities, and that will take place between May and September 2024. The tender process then will happen between September and November 2024, and the master plan development is due to be finalised in April 2025.
Okay. I mean, the situation is that there's no point in anybody being frustrated. It is what it is, and it's still an asset that's owned by the City Council and County Council. So it's a matter of maximising it.
Yeah, and look, it's in all of our interests to get the best value out of this site that we possibly can for the ratepayers and for the people of both the city and the county. And that will be our intention, to get the best and maximum out of it. And it'll be open to public consultation in due course.
Okay,
but I mean, obviously, the planning has to happen before that.
The zoning on that then is that industrial?
It's industrial commercial.
Okay, so it couldn't be used for housing then. It couldn't, you know. We know that the Ordon will come eventually. I mean, maybe not in your lifetime, in my lifetime. But I mean, it's a fine site, and we do have a housing crisis. So I mean, could it be rezoned part of it for housing?
No, it's in Chapter 5 of the Galway County Development Plan 2022 to 2028. Housing is not envisaged on that particular site.
But could it be after 2028? It's only four more years.
2028 is 3 years away, 4 years away. I can't say what will happen in 2028, but we have to go through the master planning process. This is a process, Keith, which we have to engage in.
What I'm saying is it's public land and we have a crisis.
Yes.
And Simon Harris, your fearless leader, said it during his...
Simon Harris is no longer my leader.
Okay, I forgot that.
I'm community independent candidate.
Okay, so your former leader said last Saturday night in the Bailey Allen Hall of University of Galway how housing, he was going to build 250,000 houses. You could put the guts of 600 houses at least into part of that site, and it still wouldn't have an impact on it.
Yes, but we have in our county development plan, we have zoned sufficient land in Briarhill, in Goron, in Oranmore, and in other parts of the county to cater for the needs of the housing into the future.
Okay.
And I'm sure the City Council have done the same in their local authority.
Let me just bring
Ardon will have thousands of houses, and I think Ardon should take precedence there. This is a site that was purchased jointly by Galway County Council and Galway City Council, with the County Council as the lead agency in this, for commercial purposes.
Okay. All right. I mean, stay with me if you don't mind. Do you want to respond to that, Councillor Alan Cheevers, in relation to what Lima said? You're nearly on the one page on this one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, my own point of view is that, you know, I think maybe I wouldn't rule out housing. I think I understand the chapter, you know, in relation to the development plan. I understand that. But I mean, I think that this is a large site, 115 acres, as Councillor Carroll has outlined. And I think that maybe, you know, in the future, maybe that some of it could be ring fenced towards housing. Ardon obviously is allowed housing as well. But I think.
Where is Ardon?
Ardon goes.
I know where it is.
Yeah.
But where is it?
Well, it's actually the back of Dwishka.
No, I know her.
Yeah,
physics.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Don't be too smart with
yeah.
you. But there's no movement on it.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I mean, I had spoken to an ex-councillor only a half an hour ago on the phone to tell him that I was coming in here to have the discussion on the airport site. And he mentioned on the Ardon development that he proposes in 2004 in relation to it.
It's 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
And so it's going nowhere.
Yeah. So this is the point that I want to make, Keith. You know, this has to be, this airport site obviously should be, you know, I think one of the front and centre of the manifesto of councillors and candidates going forward for this local elections. It's an important part of our city and county.
But there's no point in having it in front and centre of the forthcoming election because Evanston and Young consultants won't have anything on the table at that
stage. Yeah, but I'm saying for going forward for a plan, for a comprehensive, good plan. But my point is, this: what you're after saying there is 100% right. Things have to start moving at a faster pace in the city. As a city councillor, I'm very frustrated, like, that we're talking about stuff from 10 or 15 or 20 years ago and we still haven't seen any progress. And I think really what we need to see now going forward is that we have a new council coming in the city, we'll have a new council elected in the county, and we'll have a new CEO for the city coming in next month, and we just have a new CEO in the county. I think a collaboration...
I know, he's there a while, so he's got to love him.
But. Yeah, but what we need to do, we need to see projects and initiatives like this moved on a quicker pace. It's going far too slow, and it's slowing up city and county for investment, for further investment. We're losing out on multinational investment maybe going forward because of that, you know?
And Liam, can I come back to you on that? Can you see a merger, by the way, in the near future of both city and county? Because if you take it as it stands, so Limerick City and County, they're all one, so they can have a directly elected mayor. Currently in Galway, because we have a city and a county, we can't have a directly elected mayor, which would make a difference. But can you see the merger being put back on the table again?
As a prospective independent candidate in local elections, yes, I do see an amalgamation of the city and the county. I think it would be the best way to go forward into the future. And I've been a councillor in 2019. I would have voted for amalgamation of the city and county.
Okay.
It makes great sense to me to have the two local authorities together. We are a very large county with a population of about 280,000 in total, or 290,000 according to the census 2022. And for a county that size, one local authority, I think, would deliver huge benefits rather than having two local authorities.
But all right, I have to leave it at that. That line is just shocking going into Liam there. Apologies, Liam, the line is just shocking going into him there. We're going to buy him a new phone for the election if he does go for the election. Can I come back to you with that self-same question? Can you see a merger on the cards, Councillor Allen?
I don't think it's going to happen in the short term. I think that, you know, there's mixed feelings between both, I suppose, public reps and the general public of the city and county. So, as I say, at short term, I don't see it happening. I'm not saying it won't happen in the future, but I think that at the end of the day, I think that there's a lot more work to be done on both local authorities, as in what I just outlined regarding fast-tracking projects before we can see something that even being contemplated, to be honest.
All right, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Thanks for popping into studio, and apologies about the quality of the line going out to Liam Carroll, Cathaoirleac of Galway County Council and an independent councillor. So he is not answering to the leader of Fine Gael, soon to be Taoiseach indeed, Simon Harris. Quick commercial break back after these.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Paul Connacht, indeed, my good friend from Montbello in County Galway, was all excited and he rang me and texted me last week. I didn't even realise that he could text, but he did. I'm not saying that he's old or anything like that. He's just a couple of years between the two of us. But he texted me and he said he had a wonderful news coming the way for Montbello, and he joins me on the line today. Paul, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. This is big news, and I'll talk to Michael Kniff in a minute and Brian McHale in a moment as well. But there's a very special event coming to Montbello, and this is a big story.
Oh, a big story. I'll tell you, Keith, this is going to be the father and mother of all festivals ever held in the west of Ireland for many years. This is an international and national sheep shearing championships, and we are delighted that we're hosting this in Montbello, and it'll give you an idea of the type of interest that's in it. I am surrounded by several members of the committee today. Actually, you'll be talking to two of them now in a minute, Michael Cunniffen and Brian McKay, but I see Oliver Noon and Jimmy Noon. The place is buzzing here at this hour of the morning, so that'll give you an idea of the interest. This is something that's coming up in 6 weeks' time.
So when you say this is going to be one of the biggest, I mean, what type of numbers are you talking about? I mean, because...
We'd expect at least 40 or 50,000 people to actually pass through the system over the whole weekend. It's that kind of a thing, because not alone is this a sheep-shearing thing, but the nearest thing, Keith, that I can compare it to is a type of national ploughing championship and the Tullamore Agricultural Show. It's a kind of a cross between the three of them. The sheep-shearing will be the central thing, but this committee have very cleverly injected all sorts of facilities and services and children's activities that it'll mean that every single family, irrespective if they never saw a sheep, that they'd want to come to this this particular event. It's over 2 days on the 1st and 2nd of June. And as well as that, we won't forget the dancing public either. We have two of the greatest bands in the country coming that the lads will be telling you about in a few minutes' time on Saturday and Sunday night. So we expect when the whole lot is put together that we're going to have a huge, huge show. And this certainly takes a lot of organising, but I can see now that the initial start to it, I think we're going to have a great, great occasion.
And I hate not to be negative, and I don't mean to be negative, but do you have to apply for a licence for this then, Paul, do you?
Well, everything that has to be done from a legal point of view has been done, and what we think, you see, is that because of the fact that the novelty of it, can you imagine people coming from Australia and New Zealand now competing with our best sheep shearers here? There'll be world champion sheep shearers I'll show here on that day, and that's something that you won't see any place around the country for sometimes never, and sometimes on a yearly basis. But we never had anything like that here in Montpellier.
Where will people stay? Will they be heading for Tuam, Athlone?
Well, now that's a huge issue, and there's a call going out this morning, actually, from the committee, that anybody that has any sort of accommodation as such, that they might contact the committee here with it, because they're getting a huge amount of interest now from all over the country, and even from Northern Ireland, people are ringing to see can they, you know, get accommodation. And because of the fact that we don't have a hotel, we have everything else in this town. As you know yourself, I often say to you that Montpellier is the best of the small towns in Ireland.
Yeah.
But the only thing we haven't got is an actual hotel.
Mm.
Now, we have a lot of other guest houses and all that kind of thing, but we'd hope that members of the public now that's listening to this, that might be able to help us out of this, that would be a great advantage, because we want to make this a memorable occasion now for everybody, irrespective of where they come from.
Well, I mean, you're not that far from Athlone. You're an hour, little...
Oh, you're right. In fact, what we've been thinking, we're in the middle of several... hotels as such, and guest houses, because if you take it from Athenry to Tuam to Castlereagh to Roscommon, all around that, I have no doubt that they'll certainly be used now with the way the messages are coming in, you know.
But at that time of year, though, wouldn't your slatted sheds be free and you could do a bit of Airbnb there, couldn't you, Paul?
Oh, indeed, Keith. Yeah. And the fact that this is a thing that we particularly want to mention this morning is that on that June bank holiday weekend, now that's one of the great weekends, because hopefully we'll have nice summer weather and the world families will have their loved ones coming home to them, not alone from around the country but from abroad. And we'd be saying this morning that all those people would be told about what's happening in Montpellier, because on a holiday like that, I think this would fit in like a hand in a glove for entertainment for them when they do come.
Somebody just sent me in a text here. I'll read it to you, Paul, as it comes in. You took my thing about your slatted sheds being turned into Airbnb. You didn't even comment on it, like. But you know, I'm kind of used to being ignored as well.
Jerry, I'd like to see you within the slatted shed, surely.
Jerry Rush was busy handing out flyers for the sheep shearing at Rice Slip on Saturday in London.
He was.
Councillor Joe Byrne just sent that into us there.
Yes, we're to be found all over the world.
That's what worries me. Stay with me. Will you give me? I'll come back to you in one moment for the final word, because I know you like to have the final word. Can you put me on to Michael Kniff there, if you don't mind, chair of the AI sheep shearing committee? I'll go to Michael Kniff there first. Michael, morning to you.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
How do you follow a man like that, though? But it's huge. I mean, 40,000 to 50,000 people coming in. The logistics of this, and I know the agriculture show that you do in Montpellier is very well organised, but the logistics of this is huge.
We have a lot of all the committees in Montpellier have got behind this, and we have especially the Vintage Club here in Montpellier. They're used to handling large crowds here every August, so they're going to get behind us. And a lot of other committees are going to help us out, and the Gardaí locally and in the Bannisloe area will help us out.
Mm. Will you be able to bus them from park and rides outside the village?
We'll have to do that. We have local people with land that's going to help us out, and we'll shuttle bus them in as required.
Yeah. It's huge, though, for Montpellier. Really and truly it is.
Oh, it's huge for Montpellier, yeah. And North East Galway, it's a huge event, yeah. It's a huge event.
I came through it on Friday when I was coming back from Ballygar, and it was very vibrant and very busy on a very wet Friday morning. But you could see how busy Montpellier was.
Please God, if we get the weather, everything will work out for us all, and hopefully we'll have people fall over, flock to Montpellier, and it'll be a great weekend, and the sun shines on the town for the weekend. That's the most important thing.
All right, listen, thanks for joining us today. Can I go to Brian McHale, if you don't mind, Michael, as well, and then I'll go back to Paul Connaughton from there. But Brian is the event organiser. Brian, morning to you, Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Keith. Yes, I have you there.
You're the organiser of this event. Give me the logistics of this. I mean, Paul is saying 40 to 50,000 people. That is massive.
Well, that's our projections now between the Mark Beat music concerts in the evening and the Shearfest 2 days of sheep shearing and family fun. They are optimistic projections. We'll be relying on the weather now to get us to that kind of figure. But we think it's very achievable, especially with kind of our ideal location coming from the north, west, east, or south. We're looking forward to the challenge and to welcoming all these visitors to Montpellier.
And Brian, how did Montpellier secure this wonderful accolade?
It goes back just over a year ago. Our chairman, you just spoke to there, Michael Kniff, made a call to the Irish Sheep Shearers Association, and we set up a meeting with them. I believe there were four or five other locations, towns, villages interested in hosting the championships, but we put together a fantastic pitch here. I said we have a fantastic community spirit here. Everyone in the town is willing to come on board to support us, be that the Agricultural College, who are co-hosting it with us, the Vintage Society, who have been fantastic giving us advice on hosting an event of this kind of magnitude. So they were really happy with the Irish Sheep Shearers Association. We're very happy with the package we put together, our proposition, and thankfully they awarded it to us, which we were delighted to receive that accolade. And I said, now we want to make it the best possible event it can be.
And how many sheep do you reckon over the weekend will be sheared?
I believe it'll be probably between 1,500 and 1,700 sheep now needed for the weekend. So there's quite a lot of shearing going on there. And there'll be a lot of wool produced over the weekend.
But even the logistics of that, Brian, thinking about trying to get the sheep in, get them out, and safety, and their safety and their comfort and all that type of stuff is critical to this. I mean, I remember being there many, many, many years ago when I sheared a sheep myself, many years ago. But I mean, the logistics then were wonderful. I can only imagine what this is going to be like. Military precision.
Without a doubt now, it is a very big undertaking. We're in the kind of the heart of sheep shearing country here, so we have the fantastic sheep farmers here who will help us out with the logistics, transport. I can't stress enough that animal welfare is a huge, huge component of this. And we'll have vets on site to make sure that the animals are treated as well as they would be in a five-star barber. That's kind of our view, that they will be very well treated. And we will have vets on site to make sure that their kind of safety is paramount.
And have you sheared much yourself, Brian McHale?
I haven't. No.
Okay.
Although I'm half Galway, I would be a city boy now, historically. So I haven't to date sheared a sheep, but I have promised the committee here that I will shear a sheep after this event is a success for sure.
So you're making that promise, so we can, we'll have Sky News over for that, so we will all together
I'm sure they will the photographs will be up on Facebook.
I would say now at this stage, to be quite honest, Brian, the sheep might cheer you quicker than you'll cheer the sheep, so you will from there. Somebody wants to know.
I could actually do with a haircut now at the moment. So
there's two of us.
I'll ask one of the shears perhaps to take care of that for me.
Somebody said, did the sheep survive, Keith? The sheep survived, but I didn't. Oh, no, it wasn't my cup of tea now, I must say, from there. Listen, thanks indeed for joining us. Will you put me back to the tall fella, if you don't mind, please? And I'll talk to him just to finish out. So the event is happening on Saturday the 1st and Sunday the 2nd of June from there. And who are the bands, Paul?
Keith.
Yeah? Who are the bands that are going to be playing on Saturday night and Sunday night?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
I said, who are the bands? You said you've got some great music coming in. Who's
Michael Denver and Mike Denver and Michael English.
Oh, so you have the two of them on separate nights?
They're separate nights on Saturday and Sunday night. They're the two best bands, as you know, in the country now, so we're expecting huge crowds there.
I don't think Mike Denver has ever been called Michael Denver in his lifetime, but you're just another first for Paul Connex.
Well, I know Michael for a long, long time, I have to say.
Good on you. So that's happening on Saturday and Sunday. When do those ticket sales go on for those concerts?
They're on actually now. www.tickets.ie.
And then get further details from there. So well done to you. I take it you are the master of ceremonies for the weekend then?
Well, not specifically, but I'm for obvious reasons, very involved in it. And I want to take this opportunity just before you finish the interview. You and I go back an awful long time.
We do.
We do a long, long time. And it is with great regret that I heard that you were retiring. I know you won't be retiring as such, because I couldn't imagine an energized bunny like you looking out your window at the grass growing every day. That won't happen anywhere.
No. We do. We go back. I'd say we go back to the late, mid-80s.
Indeed, we had many, many great battles, as they say on radio. And many, many people said to me over the years when I met them, Yourself and Keith Finnegan had a great battle on radio this morning. Years and years, you know.
And we did.
And I'll tell you something now, and I mean this, you'll certainly be missed. The many, many people that I know of, it was a daily diet for them down through the years, and it was just nothing short of a miracle that you could keep up such a professional front day in, day out for, what is it, over 30 years.
34 years, yeah. But come here to you, I gave them indigestion, and the new man coming in, he'll do just as good a job, John Morley. He's younger than me, he's a bright young man.
Well, it wouldn't be too hard for him to be younger than you now, but I know him well, and I wish him well as well now. But when you get used to somebody as such, and one of the things I just want to say to you before we finish, not alone the public view of what you do, which was so professional, what many people wouldn't know was the little acts of kindness that you have done for people that was never mentioned publicly, but that you carried out in your own private way, getting done several lovely acts of kindness that I know so well, and in fact not alone for many families but for our own, in terrible times of sickness, that you'd be getting a mass card and that kind of thing. And I must say that's one great aspect of your life that we'll never forget.
And I'll continue to do that. So when you get the next mass card, Paul, I would say just be very careful. Paul Connaughton, I'll talk to you soon, and thanks for joining us and keeping contact from there. The wonderful Paul Connaughton. That event is going to be super, and I'm going to put that into the diary now for the 1st and 2nd of June, and look forward to seeing the crowds down there as well. Paul, a gentleman of gentlemen, and his wife, just lovely, and his family, just lovely, lovely people. Sport is next. Stay tuned.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Now we get a sport in a moment, but John Morley will be sitting on this side of the desk tomorrow for the next long number of years. Sits opposite me. John, morning to you.
Morning, Keith.
You all excited? Congratulations.
Very excited, yeah. Well, thank you. I think we've talked kind of briefly about it a few times, but no, I'm delighted and I'm very excited that this day week I'll be swapping roles with you now. I'll be sitting across from you now and...
You'll be in it.
Sitting in it and talking to people going, I can't wait, really looking forward to it. All the background work has been coming along nicely and the team has been put in place, so are you looking forward to getting stuck in now?
Again, I mean, because you've been with us for so long now, you know everyone, so you do from there.
Yeah, well, it's been a very enjoyable, I suppose, year and a half, 2 years in my current role as the producer slash presenter. And I suppose from that time, we've done a lot of initiatives, we tried a lot of things, and a big part has been the Community Matters, and that was a great chance for me as well to get involved in all the different communities, whether that be Galway City and Galway County, and to get to know the people and get to know the issues on the ground and build up a stronger contact base from there. And I really enjoy doing that as well.
But you put a huge amount of work into it.
You have to get it right, and I suppose I'm very conscious that on Friday week we'll be out in Clonburr, and there'll be more details on that later in the week as well. But I think it's very important that you get out there in person and you get into the communities and you can really highlight and showcase them in the best light, because that's what that programme is all about.
Yeah.
But other initiatives we've done as well, which I'll be continuing on, I think people sometimes think when Keith Finnegan's leaving and there's going to be changes made,
No. But
it's going to be much the same for the first while. We've already introduced a few changes, I suppose, since last November. The likes of Galway Greats, who you'll be on later on talking about. We'll be talking all about you and your life. And, of course, there's the radio side of that that people are aware of. But there's other parts of your life as well. So stay tuned for that from 10 past 11 today. As well as that, we've introduced music mornings on a Tuesday and Thursday. So we always have a bit of live music at around 11.45 on those days. As well as that, we have the history slot on Wednesday at 11.45. We look at history in a different part of Galway City and County as well. And we also have introduced the panel discussion, Galway Thoughts, on a Friday. So more of the same, and I'll be developing my voice and getting to know different people and hoping to be a voice for all things Galway. And I hope that people really engage with the programme. And if they have an idea, that's no matter how big time or small, just to email, text it in and call us as well. So that's the main thing. I want to provide a platform and a fair and a voice for everyone in Galway. So hopefully, looking forward to getting stuck into that from next Monday as well.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, they've always engaged, and they've engaged with you and they've engaged with me as well. But again, it's. I mean, if you take the success of Ballygar last week, I mean, even the downloads of the Ballygar first or second or third hour last week where we were coming from there, which was a tremendous success.
But yeah,
the interest in the downloads is just amazing.
I think that's the type of thing that people have been crying out for, really, in from a radio sense. And is that's what I've the feel I've got from it on the ground. And even I remember we were in Shantla for one of the programs,
you're a townie now.
Shantla.
When you can say it like that, you're a townie, no doubt about it.
We were in Shantla, and I remember a few of the texts that morning were crying out for more of Don Deasy. So we obliged, and that's kind of, that was where the idea for Galway Greats came from. And look, if the listeners have any suggestions of what they'd like more of, I'm all ears. It's their program at the end of the day, and I want to do it to the best of my ability. From
it always has
week.
Been theirs. Yeah. It's theirs, and you're just a new
facilitating.
Person. Yeah, to facilitate them. Thanks indeed for joining us, John, today.
Just before I go, Keith, as well, I will be on a few of the different programs throughout the week. I'm with Ronan tomorrow, then Kate, and then Gary as well later on the week. So I'll just be giving people a sense and a flavour of what's to come and go. I talks from next Monday as well, so you can. You can tune in, listeners, and we have a special programme on Friday dedicated to your good self, and we'll be having a few guests and twists in that as well, if you've alluded to.
I'm very worried about. I know next Sunday night you'll find it very difficult to sleep because of what comes on Monday morning, but I don't think I'll sleep on Thursday night or Wednesday night thinking, because you're the greatest messer in the world with all the nicest possible things to say. But yeah, I'll be watching out for you.
Thank you.
I still have access to your computer, but I won't look, I promise. Now let's go to sports, and Darren joins us today. Darren, morning to you. How are you today? Thanks indeed for joining us today.
I'm good there, Keith. Just listening to John there, and of course I just want to say now, because I mightn't get a chance to say it to you on air, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you over the last few years, and it'll feel very, very different here next week or whatever, next Monday I'm here again. But John Morley's a good lad there, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the show. The way he's talking there about being on all the different shows here in Galway BFM and waiting for him to make an appearance in the Late Late Show on Friday night as well. Like, it's like one of those movie stars there doing the rounds. Like, but look, at the end of the day, he's coming here working with yourself over the last year and a half, 2 years. He's found his feet there as well. He'll be a new voice for Galway. But Keith, I think I'll speak on behalf of all our listeners and all the team here in Galway BFM. you have been the voice of Galway for over 34 years, am I right with saying that? And you will be missed on the airwaves. So I look forward to seeing what you do end up getting up to, and hopefully we cross paths in some capacity again in the future.
I'm sure we will. I'm just taking some time out initially, Siam, and then we'll make a decision in, I'll be back for the elections in May, first week in June as well. I'll be doing the debates and that, but yeah, they'll find me around the place, don't you worry. Come here to me, looking at sport, and thank you for those wonderful words. Kind of, it doesn't sit well with me. Like, I just kind of, I'm that. But anyway.
Well, you are a modest. A lot of people might realize that you are a modest gentleman. Like, you know, I only started working with you like when I started filling in doing the producing, you know, about three, around the time that we were expecting Lilia Holmes, about three and a half years ago as well. And I got to know you more over the last while. And I will agree, you're a very, very modest person. If anything, we always did a bit of banter too. Like, sure, I got you to wear a smoking jacket. Remember that?
You did. And I don't smoke. Listen, let's look at a sport over the weekend, because rugby kind of qualified for a European Challenge Cup quarterfinal against Benetton yesterday following a 40-30 win over Paul in France.
Yeah, what you call it, over Paul too. Apologies for my typo there in your sheet, but look, there's a lot of areas we're going to start here there too, but we'll start with the rugby. And you're listening to William and Alan on the phone there yesterday down in France. We came into the game with poor form. We'd lost a couple of games, including against Benetton, who will play in the quarterfinal next week. We'll get to that in a moment. But when Connacht had to step up, they were 20-12 down at one stage. They did step up. Keane Prendergast getting two tries. Dave Heffernan, Shane Bolton, and played Bundy Aki. I thought the lads were going to come through the microphones there, and Bundy went over the line there as well. And a great Connacht performance. Look, Keith, at the end of the day, we'd be disappointed we're not in the Champions Cup, but the Challenge Cup is a very, very winnable competition for this Connacht team. And if they were to get themselves on track here now over next week's game, and look, if they go against Italy next week, that's not going to be easy, especially against the Benetton team that did beat us recently enough there too. So we don't want to get carried away. By the way, to let listeners know, that game is on at 12:30 next Sunday here, and I'm assuming we'll have live coverage here on Goy BFM. That'll be confirmed tomorrow there as well. But what a Sunday evening it was to listen to that match. Well done, Connacht. A big performance needed. It just gets the confidence going again, and we'll see what happens next week.
Now, ladies football, they've been relegated to Division 2 of the National League for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah, just before I go to that, I should have mentioned there as well, big congratulations to Tuam Uachtaráin, who are the Connacht Senior Women's Cup champions in rugby. The first time they've actually won it. They're a young enough club as well, Keith. 82-12 to beat University of Galway, but they have been putting in the form there as well. As you mentioned, ladies football, we had Tommy and Caitlin there on commentary yesterday. I was there as well in another capacity, and it was a winner-takes-all game to stay in Division 1. Now, you have to put everything into context first while not making excuses. Galway have had a high turnover in personnel this year in their squad, and they've come out the wrong end of some narrow games. Even though they lost 6 out of 7 games, including yesterday's game against Waterford, they have an overall scoring difference of minus 7. So it won't be all doom and gloom. A lot of players got some game time this year, but yes, and Daniel Moynihan admitted it when talking to me afterwards, yesterday's performance was not good enough. They got off to a good start, going 5-2 in front, held a 3-point advantage, but they had the wind. While conditions were absolutely fantastic for football, there was that strong post-storm catching wind there, and we didn't make a count in the first half. And credit to Waterford, they got the job done in the second half, hitting 5 points unanswered. I'm not one for going on about referees, Keith, but I do think a few decisions went against us that weren't going the other way in the game. But Galway did have a lot of chances, even when Waterford had the momentum, and we coughed up a few of them. So we can have no excuses. You lose 6 games out of 7, you expect to be relegated. But going into the championship, and Louise Ward is due back as well for that Connacht final on the 12th of May. Look, the ramifications of being in Division 2, we'll deal with that in the winter and next season. That won't affect what happens in the summer. Galway are still a top 8 side. They'll need to do better. They'll be disappointed to go down, but you have to give Waterford their due there yesterday. They got the scores when it mattered, and that's why they stay in Division 1 and Galway do not.
Good on you. Let's go to Camogie then as well.
Yeah, look, there's a disappointing story, and look, it's a story, Keith, that it comes up numerous times in regards to women's Gaelic games, and it came up again yesterday. And I could talk about rumours out there that the Galway senior team are struggling to find venues to train and head at their National League final next Saturday, but to talk about this one in particular first, the Galway minor Camogie team that played Kilkenny yesterday in round 4 of the All-Ireland Championship. The game was meant to take place at 3 o'clock in Dunmore in County Kilkenny. The referee judged that facility wasn't playable. Piltown was offered as well, the side pitch in Piltown, not the main pitch. stage. That was deemed unplayable. And I think it was in Glenmore at 4:45. Now, this is 4:45 for under 18 players on a Sunday evening. Oh, 2-3 hours away for some of them from home. Going back to school on Monday. You just have to take that into account. Kilkenny won the game, came back in the second half with the win. They won the game by 114-111. The point I'm making here is that we're all in this talk of integration at the moment. And look, it's easy point to finger the Camogie Association on this, but it's not their pitches. And in fairness to the GAA clubs as well.
What about the punters? I mean, were they driving around the place?
Well, the parents, I'd say, mainly were. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know if they went down on the bus or not, but parents won't be. Of course, if we children down there playing for Galway, we'd be driving around there as well. So a lot of messing going on. It is going to be a key issue going forward with integration in regards pitch availability. We've dealt with unprecedented weather this year. I acknowledge that as well. So we don't want to be going attacking clubs, making pitches available when, you know, at the end of the day, they're doing that off their own good heart too. But okay. It just goes to show the importance, Keith, that this needs to be sorted out and has to be sorted out before 2026, 2027, because we can't be having our female players trekking around the country and not knowing where they're going to be training or playing. And it was unfortunate what happened to the minor Camogie team yesterday.
All right, let's go to football there.
Yeah, look, on a positive note, Galway got off to a good start in the Connacht Senior Football Championship to beat London there on Saturday. A massive score was in the end. They'll play Sligo in the semi-final in a couple of weeks' time. Sligo beat Leitrim by 15 points to 6. For Pádraig Joyce's team, still having a lot of injuries there. A couple of players back, including Liam Silk, Jack Glynn, Sean Kelly as well. The unique situation we had there, Keith, too. Two Mochquillan men captain in their respective counties, because Owen Walsh from Mochquillan was the London captain as well. But Galway wins, they got the job done. They're into a Connacht semi-final in a couple of weeks' time. Mayo beat New York. Look, we always knew they were going to go in force there. Why wouldn't they? We'll be there next year as well. They'll meet Roscommon in that semi-final as well. Galway will be favourites to make the final against Mayo, Roscommon. That's probably really when the business end of the championship starts for Galway, though. I do not discount Sligo, because they are improving, even though I just don't think at senior level they're there just yet.
Now let's look at hurling as well.
Yeah, of course, one team we don't want to leave out, and we're going to hear from their manager in a moment, is the Galway under 20 hurlers. They got their first game of the campaign this year, 15 points to 112 draw against Offaly. Some will look at it first and say, ooh, Offaly, but Offaly are doing well at underage. They won the Leinster Championship last year, they won the minor a couple of years ago as well. A big point for Galway. What it means in this three-person group, look, they're guaranteed to go into the knockout stages. Galway play Dublin next week. If they win by 2 points or more, they will top the group and go into a Leinster semi-final. If not, they'll be a quarter final at least, or a preliminary quarter final. But it finished in a draw. It was a thrilling game. Niall Canavan and Cyril Donlan were in the commentary box, and Niall spoke to the Galway manager Fergal Healy afterwards, and he gave his thoughts.
We're relieved to come away with something out of the day with 10 minutes to go. You know, it looked like we were probably very much under pressure, and you know, it's looking like it was going to be difficult to get something out of us. But in fairness to the lads, when we went down to 14 and we pushed up a bit more and we went at it and we started taking our points, and we clawed it back, and I suppose we could have nicked it at the end. But yeah, look, it's a game now we've under our belt, and hopefully, you know, we've a lot to do to try and improve for next week. But like, I suppose Offaly had that game last week, you know, and we're playing here in Tullamore. Conditions were difficult obviously for both teams, and but yeah, I suppose look, we're 10 minutes to go. Yeah, we're a bit relieved to get the draw. I won't say we're happy with it or performance or anything like that. We know it wasn't good enough, and we know we need to improve, I suppose, drastically for next week if we're going to get something out of the Dublin game.
That game is in Tullamore next Saturday at 2 o'clock as well. A game will have live here on Galway BFM.
Now, soccer-wise?
Carrick Celtic, first-time Connacht Senior Women's Cup champions. They beat Manila 2-1 yesterday. So a lot of history this weekend. We mentioned about Tuamu Turard in the rugby already. Ciara Fahey and Rachel Barrett getting the goals for Carrick Celtic. A great win for them. And Keith, just one person I want to give a mention to as well. Joe Kinnear, former Republic of Ireland soccer international. He managed Wimbledon when they were the crazy gang. He also managed Newcastle, played for Spurs too. Was a contender for the Ireland job at one stage. We might remember he was an analyst back in the 1994 World Cup. He sadly has passed away at the age of 77.
And may he rest in peace. Finally, golf with you there today.
There was plenty to watch in golf for the weekend. Rory McIlroy ended up coming third in the Valero Texas Open. There was a new player, Avata, I think, I just having his name written down here, that was well in front, but McCarthy came back to force a playoff in that. A good workout for Rory McIlroy before the Masters, which starts next Thursday. It's one of my favourite sporting events of the year, the Augusta Masters in golf. I wouldn't get to watch golf every week, but I definitely never missed a Masters. We're looking forward to that. But Leona Maguire, what a weekend she had in the T-Mobile match play. Joint leader on Friday night, was up there competing the whole time and then qualified for the match day playoffs, the final eight, going up against the world number one Nelly Korda. What a tussle they had last night in Las Vegas too. I think it was 20-1 in the morning before it finished, but Nelly Korda got the job done, winning 4-3. Leona Maguire has a good record against Korda in match play. She'll be disappointed with her own performance. That's Korda's fourth successive win on the LPGA Tour, but Leona Maguire, she, no different to Rory McIlroy, will be keeping a strong eye on her when majors come up on the Women's Tour later this year.
And racing.
Racing is cross-channel today, Keith, but I'll just give you our tip. It's in Wincanton at 4:08. Toss of a coin. You can flip it and see if you're lucky.
Thank you for that, Darren, today. So don't forget, on the hour, every hour. Are they all home from Ryseth now, do you reckon?
Well, I'm here today anyway, so I don't know about that, like, you know, no. But no, look, there were, on a serious note, the weather has affected some flights as well. I know some flights were cancelled yesterday. Regards our crew or the team, I'm not too sure, but I think there are still some people making their way home.
All right, thank you indeed for that. Now, yet to come, Galway greats and I feature. How do you introduce yourself? Well, I don't. John Morley does. So that's coming up. Give you an insight into where I came from and who I am and what I am and all that type of stuff. So it's coming up just after the 11 o'clock news. And as Darren said earlier on, I'd be a very quiet guy. I'd be a shy enough guy. You're on the wireless shouting all day, every day. So I'm kind of hoping this all just works very well. And I don't put me 2 feet in it. But when I'm in Mr. Morley's hands, he's a good guy, a great guy, actually, who will be here as of next Monday morning at 9 o'clock from 9 to 12 and ongoing. So we wish him the very best. Now, though, let's head towards the 11 o'clock news and death notices, then Galway greats, and then we're back indeed to say farewell to you. All of that and more between now and 12 midday morning to you.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road, a new way to car shop.